Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Most historians, most people who study history would say that he is talking shit. Yes. So most people...
That's from a history teacher, ladies yeah. and gentlemen.
Denying the Holocaust, but also trying to promote the good works of the Nazi regime.
Right, anyway.
Yeah, come on, let's get on with the intro.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. My name is Beef.
I'm Tiss.
And this is Bob Shoy.
And we want to welcome you guys, our listeners, our lovely, lovely listeners. Thanks for tuning in. We've also got a fourth...
It's more long-winded than my outro.
Don't touch their dial, just, guys.
Let me get on with it.
Sorry.
We also have a fourth voice with us, and it's not a voice that you'll have heard too many times before, although twice before.
We've heard me altering your voice.
Yeah, we've heard that many times.
But one appearance on the show, I think.
Yeah, for Halloween.
Halloween Campfire.
So reprising her role from the Halloween Campfire is my wife, Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Yeah. And so Rachel's joining us today for a quite unique episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about
I really
it, anyway.
Look forward to this one.
Yeah.
I
know you guys know what Rachel does for a living, i.e. she's a history teacher, mm-hmm. just close bracket for people that don't know. And that I know you guys probably have a rough idea of the kind of stuff she might talk about, but do you have anything that you're like, oh, I wonder if she's going to... like any kind of presumptions at all?
It was actually, there's a few bits, actually.
Yeah,
but that's all ancient history now.
Wow. He's come straight from work today.
Pumped
after a day at work.
Drinking a 9.2, Mr. President.
Holy shit, you're going to drive home after that?
Yeah.
I didn't realise this was so strong.
No, because... yeah! No, it'd be like, what, 2 hours from now?
Fine. Fair enough, 2 hours, yeah.
You're fine.
Okay, yeah, it was Becca who had the idea, like, oh, get Rachel on the show to talk about history.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. But when I mentioned it to you guys, I just sort of said, I didn't give you anything to go on. I was just like, bring some weird history shit. So I don't know what to expect, no.
So for long-term listeners, Rachel's brother Jack was on the episode mm-hmm. a bunch of episodes ago, talking about black holes with, you're going to have to edit this out.
Godwin.
Oh, I knew it was Godwin. Please edit that out. You can so edit that out. You're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, anyway.
So, Rach, should we just hand over to you? Do you want to explain what you're doing, or are you just going to go straight into...
I'm going to play a clip first mm-hmm. that kind of introduces mainly the person that I'm talking about.
Ooh.
Is a person. Well, yeah, it's like a theme. So I'm going to play that and then... Yeah,
we'll crack on.
Okay.
This is the BBC. They're going to be marketing their film to television corporations around the world. I'm going to be standing there in their so-called gas chamber at Auschwitz One, and I'm going to be pointing out, oh, no holes in the roof. So that rather makes a mockery of your eyewitnesses who said that they saw the SS men clambering up on the top and dropping the pellets through the holes in the roof. Oh, look at that door over there. It's got a glass pane in it. A pane of glass in a gas chamber in a door. There's a 2-inch gap under the wooden door. It's a drafty gas chamber, this one. Right, I'd be asking. things like that. And they know they can't stand that. And so this is the reason that I'm banned from the Auschwitz site. Because I'll be asking the questions about the heaps of coke which don't exist. What happened to the bodies? I'll be asking questions like that. I'll be saying, Tom Bauer, the famous British historian and journalist who wrote that recent book about the Swiss gold, Tom Bauer, he described how in May 1944, 450,000 Hungarian Jews were shipped off to Auschwitz. Within the space of 3 weeks, they've been cremated and gassed. 450,000 people, as I wrote in a letter to the Sunday Times, of course, 450,000 people is just an awful lot of meat. It's 45,000 tons of meat, if you're going to be tasteless about it. So what did they do with this mountain of meat after they'd gassed it? Either they cremated it, they burned it, or they buried it, they ploughed it under. And you've got to be tasteless, you've got to ask these questions. If you're going to get rid of 450,000 bodies, you've got a mountain of flesh of 45,000 cubic meters to dispose of. If you're going to bury it, you're going to have a pit of 45,000 cubic meters, which is the size of several football fields, which will be visible from the air. And we have the aerial photographs taken of Auschwitz precisely those weeks, and there's no such pits visible. Or you're going to cremate them, and it's going to take 60 kilograms of coke on average to cremate everybody in the gas chambers in the crematory that was supplied to Auschwitz. We know that because we have the actual operating instructions of these crematoria and their efficiency charts, and all the details that came from the manufacturers. So we know how many tons of coke are going to be needed. Tens of thousands of tons of coking coal, and there's no sign of that on the aerial photographs either. But nobody asks these questions, because if they do, of course, it's off with his head, put him in prison. And if I go to that building with the BBC television cameras, I'm going to be pointing out about the inside of the doors. I'll say, what a funny thing. That gas chamber door's got a handle on the inside. Now, I was in Pentonville prison for contempt of court 3 or 4 years ago, and I can't remember having had a handle on the inside of my cell door. Yet we're being told that 800 people packed into that room, according to the eyewitnesses, were so stupid that it never occurred to them to open the door with the handle that the Nazis had very kindly provided on the inside. And everybody's believed it for the last 50 years, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, nay, millions of school children have been bussed across Europe to that site and told to go in that building and shudder, because that's where millions of Jews were killed by the Nazis during World War II. Only now is the truth beginning to come out that nobody was gassed in that building, because that building was built by the Poles, as they now admit, in 1948, 3 years after World War II was over.
Wow, so I wonder what we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh, whoa, that was... What do you think of that, Tess?
Interesting.
Yeah. Thanks, you did exactly what I wanted. Played into my hands.
Catchphrase!
That was controversial.
Yeah. So we need to put a little disclaimer here, don't we, really?
Yeah, so I know you guys like conspiracy theories and controversial topics. So I've thought about what's the most controversial topic in history at the moment. And at the moment, it's the debate of the Holocaust and Holocaust denial, and the argument of should they be allowed to have their opinion that the Holocaust didn't happen, or should they be banned? So countries around the world have banned, this is David Irving, who's an English historian. So he's been banned from 6 countries around the world. He's not allowed even to enter them.
Okay.
Because he denies the Holocaust.
Shit.
Wow. I've never actually heard someone speak out so openly about why they believe it didn't happen.
Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure it's safe to say, I hope it is, otherwise we're going to have problems with our friendships, that the views expressed by these people are their own views, and we do not agree with any of them.
No, I mean, 3 of the 4 of us sitting on this table have been to Auschwitz.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been to Auschwitz.
No, I feel like if you went to Auschwitz,
it's kind of like
ruin you. I don't
kind of don't want to recommend it to people. No. It's pretty grim. It's one of the grimmest days of my life, I reckon.
Not recommendation of the week.
No. Yeah, don't go through it.
Historically fascinating. In actuality, depressing.
Yeah.
Obviously depressing, but like, I don't regret going.
No.
But,
no.
It's hard to recommend it.
Kind of changed my life a bit.
It's pretty tough going in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been a couple of times to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And I think the more times you go, it gets harder as well, because you notice different things.
Mm-hmm.
But David Irving has been to Auschwitz, and he has, so have other Holocaust deniers, and he wasn't moved in the same way that we are.
He thought it was bollocks.
He thought it was completely made up. So there's five main things that Holocaust deniers question or say that happened. So the main one is that they say there was no master plan for killing the Jewish people. There was no mass extermination.
Right.
They say that there was no gas chambers at Auschwitz or at any other camp. So if Jews were killed, they were killed by gas chambers. They also say that you can't trust survivor testimony, that the survivors are making up their stories or using their stories to gain money. They also say that there was no net loss of Jewish life. So they don't agree that there were 6 million Jews that died. They would argue that if there were a loss of Jewish life, it's a much lower number. And they say that the Nuremberg trials at the end of World War II were staged show trials to punish the Nazis. And the evidence used at the trials was made up. So that's the main claims.
Some of his arguments I did find a little bit flimsy, I've got to say.
Yeah.
He was like, there's a handle on there. Put a lock, you can lock a door.
Yeah.
What about if they need to open it from that side? Which they obviously would. Like, that's not an argument.
But the handle on that that's door, if you lock the thing, then it's like...
Yeah, that's the flimsiest argument I've ever heard for anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because they need to open the door sometimes. Yeah. Like, when they're shoveling out the bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he suggesting? Was he suggesting that they wouldn't have even thought to open the door?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's saying that...
They're obviously going to lock it. It doesn't matter if you've got a door handle.
He's like, I'm not sitting in many prisons that have a handle on the inside. Like,
My car door has got a handle on the outside. I still can't open it if it's locked.
Yeah, it doesn't mean someone's going to drive it away without a key.
Yeah.
What was the other one? The glass pane.
Yeah.
So do you know which one they'd be talking too weak about?
To break through glass, though?
Yeah, well, he's talking about... So for Bob, who's been to Auschwitz, the small gas chamber in Auschwitz 1. So it's...
Is that the one we first went into? Where they
if you ever go and visit Auschwitz, it's the only gas chamber that survived. The other two were destroyed by the Nazis. So it's the only one that you can go into as a gas chamber.
I went into that at the very end of my day. It was like the cherry on the cake of like the worst dessert ever.
Which one of them was a poker stop? One of them was a poker stop.
The whole of Auschwitz is a poker stop.
Are you serious? That is the most disgraceful thing you could do. Let's also make it into a playground.
Because it's like classed as a museum, so it
was... Yeah, but it's not really a playground. It's not appropriate.
No, yeah. They did put a ban out, or they...
They banned it.
Well, I've never heard of that.
We went into that gas chamber, and I guess because... When we were in there, you kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and behind us were a couple of Orthodox Jews, weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, because you pointed out to me, I was like, whoa, it just like hit me harder. So I guess I wasn't really paying much attention, but I don't remember there being like a glass door.
I remember being in that room and finding it very oppressive. Like we've said about it before, like being in a place of negative energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty, like... Maybe the most negative building I've ever stood in.
Yeah, you feel like you've hit the bottom, and then you're like, oh, there's like scratch marks on the wall.
Yeah, I'm not even shitting. There's like handprints and shit.
But there are holes in the ceiling. There's two like hatches.
Yeah.
So he's talking bollocks.
Well, most historians, most people who study history would say that he is... talking shit. Yes. So most people...
That's from a history teacher, ladies and gentlemen.
Most people would say that his claims aren't valid and his evidence is pretty flimsy. But he is not the only person to hold these views. So there are some very well-known people, particularly kind of Middle Eastern leaders. There's a few ex-Middle Eastern leaders. I think it's the one who led the Brotherhood of Muslims.
Right.
Is a quite a famous Holocaust denier. So there are mainly people who are already seen as anti-Semitic quite often are also Holocaust deniers.
So these people that are Holocaust deniers, what do they get out of saying it's bollocks?
Yeah.
So David Irving currently makes his money because he's now discredited as a historian. So he used to make money writing history books about World War II. So now he's being discredited because he doesn't accept the Holocaust. He makes his money from touring, giving lectures against the Holocaust, most of which are in America. to neo-Nazi or white supremacist organisations.
That's what he's got to get out of it, making money from being controversial.
Yeah.
So it's just making people who already believe that believe it more.
Yeah, just validating their belief.
He basically just turns up and goes, yeah.
Do neo-Nazis have a lot of money, though?
Surely they must pay membership fees.
Well, I think there are
rent out the hall.
There are quite big organisations around the world.
What, they've got white hoods, clean white hoods,
clean white heads
and braids, clean white heads. Yeah, haircuts. They're not fucking cheap, are they?
No, because they've not got a. They haven't even got a complicated haircut. They can just get a pair of clippers.
Well, yeah, but they're
but DMs, well, the DMs are expensive.
Yeah, fucking. Yeah, but they last forever.
By one, and that's
forever.
There's also the Institute for Historical Review, which is the most famous organisation, probably, against the Holocaust. So they write regular kind of articles. They've got their own website and things that is about denying the Holocaust, but also trying to promote the good works of the Nazi regime.
Right, okay.
That history has, by focusing on the loss of World War II, has missed the good things that the Nazis did.
What are the good things the Nazis did? They made the trains run on time, is what everyone always says.
So they made Germany quite efficient.
Wasn't the economy much better off?
Yeah, so there is quite a few historians who would argue that if Hitler had stopped in 1935, so he saved Germany in terms of giving Germany back status.
Before he took it too far.
And before he kind of took it too far.
A little bit too far.
Then he would be considered one of the world's greatest leaders instead of...
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. We've said that before on the show. Like, he was good until that. It was like a bit of a pivot.
So,
yeah.
So they would argue that we focus too much on the until instead of... but they make some pretty bold claims.
Germany's still, like, very efficient, though.
Yeah.
Was it efficient before Hitler?
I feel like it probably would have been efficient anyway.
It's part of their...
It's just their culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything is efficient.
Yeah, it's great.
And they're not far off Japan in terms of, like, their trains running on time.
All the countries are lava, so, like,
German cars are really good.
Sorry?
German cars are amazing.
German cars are German cars are really well-oiled machines.
Oh, no, I got
speaking
one.
From experience.
Yes.
Same.
My brand new Beamer.
Octavia's got a VW engine.
What is it? What, your Skoda?
Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't use that as an example of... Because your car...
Did Hitler invent VW?
Fine German craftsmanship.
Yeah, he invented Volkswagen, because it was the people's car. The Volkswagen.
People's car. Volkswagen. Car for people.
But the joke was it was like no one could actually afford it once it was made.
So he charged people to... You could buy stamps.
Yes.
And you collected
tokens.
Stamps.
Yeah.
And eventually, if you collected enough stamps, you got the car.
Yeah.
But nobody in Germany ever got the car.
No.
Or bought the stamps.
And no, they spent thousands on stamps, but he used it to fund the army.
Yeah, and the car was like way too good for anyone to be able to afford anyway, so it was never like a people's car. Like
it wasn't a people's car. It wasn't like the equivalent of like a Mini.
No, they gave it to like leading Nazi officials. So there would be people driving around in the car, so people would think, oh, look, they've collected theirs.
But no one souped them up, no boy races.
Nobody actually...
Like the Mark II Golf.
Yeah.
I had my old car was a Golf.
Yeah, that's a boy racer.
I was such a boy racer.
Volkswagen Golfs are great. Yeah. The only thing that stopped me from getting a Golf was the lack of, I need a bit of stuff.
A bit of stuff.
Climate control and stuff.
Oh, yeah, to get all that as extras, it's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crafty Germans. Keep that in. We love German people. They cut out.
I do love German people.
Nice.
I love German people.
We did.
This is coming from someone who's thinking of moving to Germany, so of course I like German people.
No, for what it's worth, Berlin is a lovely place.
Munich's also lovely, but fuck me, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Lots of great clubs in Berlin.
Lots of great clubs. Did you dance the night away?
I danced the night away. I did.
Great.
I did, actually.
Anyway.
I'm glad we're able to keep this light hard.
To what end... Do these people... Is this too soon to ask the big question?
Well, why they got to get out of it?
Yeah, to what end would the Jewish people or whoever fabricated the Holocaust get out of it?
Right. So what you mean, like, why would they bother with all the numbers? Like, why would they say it's 6 million
people? Yeah, why anything? Like, if the Holocaust isn't real, why would they make it up?
So the main argument that they give is that the Jewish people made up the Holocaust in terms of to justify their claim in Israel over Palestine.
That's what it was going
to be. So it's that they then get sympathy from the rest of the world and almost feel the rest of the world feels guilty for what happened in World War II and therefore won't challenge them.
Guilt tripping.
Yeah. And lots of people were perhaps...
The lesser known song by Fat Boys, isn't it? Gangster tripping and guilt tripping.
Guilt tripping. Outro music this week. Yeah, I can't wait to fade into the gangster tripping at the end of this fucking episode. Right, anyway, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so lots of people would argue that the Holocaust in Israel is more political than it is anywhere else.
Okay, Pete. Still laughing at gangster tripping.
He's got the giggles and it's making me laugh.
There was a Holocaust in Israel.
As in the survivors of the Holocaust who now live in Israel. Hmm. Lots of people would argue that they use it as a political argument more than it's used kind of anywhere else in the world. That they have like something to gain by reminding people, look what we lost. So you took our homes, you took our... You took our lives, so therefore you owe us this.
My problem with this is like it's too well documented for it to be a lie. Do you know what I mean? It's like everyone knows the numbers and the figures and the methods and things like that. It's like every Jew in the world have had to get together and be like, right, this is what we're going to say.
Through history, the Israelites have always been displaced, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like since Moses.
Yeah, since biblical times, it's just been...
They've always been the butt of, like...
And it's always been... Yeah, it's always been prophetically... Like, in the Bible, it's what they always say. It's, you know, the Jews will be persecuted because they're God's own people. And it's like a constant thing. But the other thing I was thinking this, it's like... So all the gas chambers but one that we went into...
Yeah.
Like, you go to all the other ones, it's just a pile of rubble on the floor. Mm-hmm. Why would you destroy them if... You didn't have anything to hide. If when it came
Why
to the
would
Nuremberg
you destroy
trials,
that last one?
Do you know what I mean? Well, yeah.
No breadcrumb jar. I'll give them something.
Yeah, I'll give them one.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But you wouldn't destroy them if they were being used or if they weren't gas chambers.
But what about all the propaganda against the Jews?
What, the German propaganda?
Like, I can't even
and
say
all the
it.
Shot fronts.
There was a Holocaust, but I'm not even going to say it. But the propaganda... leads just baits that argument, doesn't it?
Mm.
How can you explain
all the anti-Jew propaganda of the Nazi regime?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would they put that if they weren't going to do anything about it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But even if it wasn't like killing, it was still like
there's enough hatred.
Yeah, there was enough hatred there.
Yeah.
To warrant all the other stuff anyway.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so David Irving argues that there was he doesn't deny that the Nazis didn't hate the Jewish people, so he doesn't deny that anti-Semitism, and he equally doesn't deny that there weren't Jewish people killed. He just says that it wasn't organized by the Nazis. So he's almost saying that if there was lots of Jewish people that were killed, that was people taking it on themselves,
right?
That they chose to kill rather than being told to.
So the propaganda fueled normal people to do it for them.
Yeah, rather than there being like an order or a Nazi policy to kill the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. So he's suggesting that in all the hype of killing lots of people, people just got kind of a bit.
But even so, by extension, the Nazis have to take responsibility for the fact that they incited that much hate that people started killing people.
Yeah, even if they didn't do it, they still caused...
They still incited it, so kind of... Mm. I mean, it's just...
Does he also say that it's not... You said he also says it's not 6 million.
Yes, he says what that figure
matter?
Has been inflated.
Like, any figure is too much? Mm. Any figure more than, like... Okay, any person being killed is obviously wrong.
Yeah.
But any
figure...
people
die in war.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was a time of war.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's just say, for example, it's like 10,000. That's still too many.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the amount is, does it?
How many was it? 6 million?
6 million.
6 million Jews. Right. 12 million people were killed in the concentration camps.
In the concentration camps.
In total. So 12 million were killed that were victims. Yeah. Victims of...
12 million people. Head around that.
Just
like
to give you...
us. Like, they've got their own lives. Or they didn't have their own lives.
After, just to give you an idea of that, this always blew my mind. Like, when I was over there, there was like a little fact thing on one of their things, and it said, there are 9 million people that live in London. You're like, that's what? Like, is that all of that?
After the Jews...
I'll be one of them soon.
What were the second biggest...
The next, so the Jews were the most persecuted group. Then it's the Roma and Sinti gypsies.
Right,
so they were seen for similar reasons as the Jews. Because they didn't have a home, they were seen as kind of like sponging off the state. That they were seen as part of the destruction of Germany because they, and destruction of Europe because they didn't have a fixed home.
But that's the Romani lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they were also seen as, because of the way
they're
that the Nazis...
They're still persecuted, aren't they, Romanis? Yeah.
So the way that the Nazis Romani view Egyptians. The idea of creation is that they view it as survival of the fittest and social Darwinism. So the idea that the German Aryan race is the supreme race of humanity.
Darwin is... somewhere like in another life, like
Hitler decide that like blokes who look nothing like him were the pure
that's a question like every student asks in school, like, but none of those Nazis look like
it's like he just had the hots for fucking like big staunch German dudes and was just like these men.
Wasn't he Austrian as well?
He was Austrian.
But that's what I mean. So what, like, Would I be? So what would happen to me? I mean, I'm not ginger. I'm ginger. I'm not.
You're ginger. Yeah.
You're not perfect.
So you wouldn't be viewed as.
Would I be exterminated?
You wouldn't be exterminated. Oh. No.
Would they take Tiss? He's got sort of
blue eyes
and blondish hair.
Long blonde hair.
So people who had blonde hair, blue eyes were probably seen as pinnacle of society. Right.
Would I just be given a shit job or something?
No, because if you look at the Nazi leaders, none of them had the same.
Yeah, none of them did. They're all big fucking global boys.
So it was all down to your.
Is
your,
it.
Proof, but
who's the guy, one top Nazi official, none of them.
It's just all their like,
is it Goebbels,
like servants in hot pants, like, oh, danke Hans.
Danke Hans.
Alright, German lessons are coming into play there.
Is it Goering who's the guy, like scrawny guy with the black rim glasses,
there's lots of Renier
short hair, who would do you know who I mean?
Goebbels.
You know who I mean? That's Goebbels.
Yeah.
He was the guy who would, was...
He was head of propaganda, wasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, he's like
he was
ugly, dweeby
well.
Little
he
man.
He also had... they didn't like people who had disabilities. I don't know. That's not written in his... But they didn't... The Nazis also didn't like people with disabilities who were seen as a drain on the state.
This is the saddest thing.
That's so bad.
Goebbels
it's
had,
awful, isn't it?
He had a clubbed foot. So he had a disability.
So
he told people that he had a limp because it was a war injury, because that was seen as more acceptable.
Right, heroic.
But actually, he never fought in the First World War, and he had a disability. So he...
Okay.
Wasn't Hitler mentally ill as well?
I'd
say he's got
your own mind
slightly deranged. You can,
that's... People perhaps like David Irving might disagree with you.
What about the other higher-ups? What about Himmler? Do you have anything wrong with him? I'm just looking for like things they all had wrong with him.
Himmler didn't have...
He was fat.
Himmler wasn't
fat.
He wasn't particularly seen as very intelligent.
Right.
And his previous like job before being in the Nazis was that he was a chicken farmer.
Right.
So he's seen as
you were going to say something else. It was going so close to what you were going to say, and it went off on another tangent.
So he wasn't seen as a particularly bright spark, really. No.
How did they all get so high up?
What about Rudolf Hirsch?
High up in a fucking stupid course.
He was probably seen as more
idiots
than...
Rudolf Hirsch was, like, quite hot, wasn't he?
He was the youngest.
And he was a chicken.
He had like quite a square jaw, right?
Wasn't there like Rudolf Hess and Rudolf Hess?
Square jaw.
Yeah, like handsome square jaw.
Rudolf Hess is the like was kind of one of the right hand men of Adolf Hitler.
He was the one that had that lovely house on Auschwitz.
No.
Are we really fucking with your lesson plan, Rachel? These are the tangents we go on.
So the Auschwitz commandant is Rudolf Hoss.
Rudolf Hoss. That's it.
Commandant Hoss.
He's the one who had his house on Auschwitz, and his family lived
in Auschwitz. House on Auschwitz.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's like you get to the edge, and
what's
it's
the real estate on that now?
I can't imagine they sell. And it's like, yeah, and it's like a fence, but it's not like a fence, like a railed fence. Yeah, I would say that house, but you know what house, like...
When you go in, is it on the right?
It's like the gas chamber's there,
yeah,
and then there's got the bit where he was hanged.
Who's Schindler?
He was the guy who saved loads of Jews.
Yeah, he was, Oskar Schindler was a Nazi.
And he made a list.
And he saw how bad it was.
Yeah, he then rescued Jewish people.
He made a list of people who were going to get saved.
Yeah, so on his list, he employed them to work for his company so they wouldn't die.
Right.
So he just had, he kept employing them to work for him. And every person he employed was someone who wasn't going to go and get killed. So they're all Jewish people he employed.
So he made sure that he kept employing people.
Yeah.
Cool.
Recommendation of the week.
I've never seen list. That.
Really?
I saw it, but I never really watched it.
I watched it for the first time only last year.
There are so many
and
films.
It's great. It's
black and white, isn't it?
Rachel's not seen Schindler's List.
Really?
Yeah.
Rachel, if you're into this stuff,
you should really see
it. Really, really good. Like, I was watching movie. Loads of old Steven Spielberg movies that I watched, and that was great. And Ralph Fiennes in it is fucking great.
Ralph Fiennes great, yeah.
Yeah. The whole cast, like, is amazing. Like, yeah.
Liam Neeson's Schindler.
Like, it is, like, amazing.
Liam Neeson's Schindler?
Yeah.
So, who's Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes is, like, I can't remember the character's name, but he's, like, a real proper arsehole German dude.
Oh.
Proper arsehole.
I thought he was Schindler.
No. He plays like the most amazing villainous Nazi arsehole.
Right.
He's quite good at being a villain.
Yeah, like he's great.
Isn't he Voldemort?
Voldemort.
Don't say his name.
Yeah.
Voldemort.
I've been watching Harry Potter in German to help me, yeah.
To learn.
Really? Yeah.
All right, let's get back on track with his mind.
Yeah, okay, let's turn it back around because we.
So what I was thinking is there's a film that came out at the end of last year.
Schindler's List.
No.
The remake.
Called Denial.
Right.
And it's about a criminal
Egyptian
case.
Egyptian River.
That...
Very good.
I'm getting my dad jokes
very good.
So it's about a criminal case that David Irving does against another historian called Deborah Lipstadt. And he is suing her for... libel.
Right.
She's by calling him a Holocaust denier, she's destroyed his career. So she was kind of the first person that really challenged him and argued with him.
Well, she called him what he is, and then he was like, "You destroyed my career."
So he said,
"It's not libelous.
It's not a lie." he says that she stopped him having opportunities in his career because of she says that he goes against history, that he doesn't use historical techniques, that he isn't a good historian, and basically picks him apart.
Right.
So there's a film being made about it. Looking at because what they had to do is because he brought the case against her in this country, in England, our libel cases is that the person who's been accused of calling someone a liar or kind of attacking their character has to prove that what they've said is true.
Right.
So she had to prove that the Holocaust happened in order to prove that he was a liar. And for her not to have to pay him lots of money.
Did she manage to prove it?
So that's what the film's
about. Is that spoiler?
If the court said that the Holocaust didn't happen, then the court would have to go to prison because it's illegal.
It's not illegal in this country to say...
Is it not?
...that the Holocaust didn't happen.
Oh, hey, I thought it was.
So because of our freedom of speech...
Can burn a poppy if you want.
...clause, we can... That's why David Irving is allowed to debate. He's pretty much ridiculed for his debates in this country because most people in this country would accept.
We're pretty savvy.
He reminded me a bit of David Icke. The way he was talking, the way he was saying stuff, reminded me of David Icke.
It's the same in America. He's allowed to say what he wants in America as well.
Doesn't mean anyone's going to take him seriously.
In Germany, he's not allowed. So in Germany, he's been arrested a number of times. He's now banned from Germany. He's not allowed in Germany.
Well, understandably, they're a little bit touchy about.
Yeah, and he's like also banned from. I double checked it. He's also banned from Poland. He's banned from Canada. Yeah,
probably.
All the places where it fucking happened. Yeah. It's like, it did happen. We were here.
Yes, he's banned from Austria, Germany, and Poland.
Yeah, like, it fucking happened.
But he's also banned from Canada and Australia.
Right, okay.
So they've taken a stand that he's not allowed there. But he's allowed to say what he wants in England and America. I've got the trailer for the film, so you can have a look.
Okay.
Because what I thought was quite interesting is because what it means is it debates what is history.
Okay.
Is history, most historians would say history is argument, history is debate,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't about fact. Whereas this film then is saying that the Holocaust is a fact,
mm-hmm.
and therefore he's not allowed to
what
have
What does it
this.
Mean by history isn't fact? Is that that whole thing history of why history is written by the victors?
Yeah, so there's this, well, the government is, in our country, in England, has also changed the way that we teach history. So we now have to teach interpretation.
Right.
History is interpretation. Ah. It's not fact. There is no, we don't know who won the Battle of Hastings, but this is what most interpretations say. So we take that as the story.
How old does something have to be considered history?
And it could be, right now could be.
Well, then we can actually remember stuff that happened last year, though.
But they would say we would have four different interpretations of what's happening in the room. So which one's true?
So but doesn't it come down to the amount of testimonies, the amount of accounts?
Well, that's where most people would then agree that something, that's what makes something stop being an interpretation and become fact. So most people
filmed.
Would agree.
Yeah, because they actually, there's actual
everything
pictures
is actually filmed.
And actual filmed of like starving people
but,
waiting to be executed.
Yeah, but you have it on, you've had it on your podcast of things that people would say were filmed, like you've talked about. Yeah. And then
the Pentagon
but
bomb,
actually,
mate. That was only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but you've had it on your podcast.
Yeah,
of things
no, that's
that
true.
People have filmed, and then you said they're not true.
So, Tiss's recommendation of the week was Schindler's List. Is your recommendation Denial?
My recommendation is Denial as a film.
Are we going to watch Trailer?
If we watch
Tiss
Trailer,
recommends something he hasn't actually seen.
Yeah.
I will recommend something I have seen, which is a brilliant film, which is Downfall, which we've recommended.
Oh,
before.
Downfall's fucking great.
Oh, yeah. That's
you want to have a good Holocaust film, The Pianist?
Yeah,
that's
really
good.
Oh,
that's
amazing.
A good one.
I said to you quite tastelessly that more women died on the backseat of Senator Edward Kennedy's car in Chappaquiddick than ever died in a gas chamber at Auschwitz.
Timothy Spall?
Yeah.
It is my pleasure to introduce Professor Deborah Lipstadt. Whatever the reasons that people become deniers, they often have an agenda which they won't admit to.
Why do you continually denigrate the work of David Irving?
You can have opinions about the Holocaust, but I won't meet with anyone who says the Holocaust didn't happen.
Professor Lipstadt, I am that David Irving. And I've got $1,000 to give anyone who can show me a document that proves the Holocaust.
I will not debate you. Not here, not now, not
because
ever.
You're gone. Well... Irving's dissent has noticed the pursuit to be filed in the High Court. Miss Lipstadt has done very real damage to my professional existence.
What did you say about him? I think I called him a liar and falsifier of history.
You better get yourself lawyered up.
A man accuses you of something and it's your job to prove he's wrong? In the US, there's a presumption of innocence.
Yeah, not in the UK. This case is happening to you, but it's not about you. Auschwitz is at the very center of Holocaust belief, so it's at the very center of Holocaust denial. There were no gas chambers anywhere at Auschwitz. But here is one of the largest killing machines in human history. You know what it is? It's how we prove what it is.
What if we lose? Suddenly it becomes acceptable to say the Holocaust didn't happen?
The word denial is particularly evil.
But freedom of speech means you can say whatever you want.
The phrase is a poison to which there is no antidote.
What you can't do is lie and expect not to be accountable for it.
There are no holes in that roof. Therefore, there never were any gas chambers.
No holes, no Holocaust. He wanted a catchy phrase. He's got it.
Where's the evidence? Where's the proof?
Not all opinions are equal.
But I'm not a racist.
Attacking freedom of speech. I've been defending my right to stand up against someone who wants to pervert the truth.
That looks good. I'm going to watch that.
So Peter Pettigrew.
He was behind it all.
Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah, that looks good. I hadn't heard of that film.
No, I hadn't. It only came out last year.
I saw an advert for it.
Towards the end of last year.
There's just so much about it that like bothers me. And it just really bothers me that this is the way some people think.
We're in the Holocaust.
I've never heard anyone.
It really bothers me, the Holocaust.
I've never had anyone firsthand deny it.
No, I've never met one. You said you've met people who deny, like, because I'm going to compare it to something else, which I find is quite ludicrous. The flat earth theory.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you've met people who believe in flat earth.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never have.
No, I've never met.
But I've never met anyone who is a Holocaust denier either.
Yeah, yeah. Flat Earth's a pretty crazy one too.
But you were defending it on one of our old episodes.
Yeah, the Earth is flat. It is. There's no curvature.
It's face.
You can't see his face if you're listening.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, denial.
Yeah.
Have you watched it, Rachel?
So I've seen, I haven't seen the whole thing all the way through.
Right.
But I've seen, we use it in school.
Oh, okay.
When
you said it was a film, I presumed it was a documentary film. So when Timothy Spall popped up, I was like, hang on a minute.
No, so it's, yeah, it's just been in the cinemas.
My first thought was, oh shit, that dude looks really like Timothy Spall.
Yeah. I think the only good reason to deny the Holocaust is to stop it getting taught at school so you can, like, learn something new. Because I remember in history class, it was World War II the entire time.
I took history.
It was so fucking boring. I just wanted
to learn about history teacher here.
I just wanted to learn about Egyptians and Romans and Greeks.
Mm.
And all we learned about was World War II. For good reason, probably.
So the Holocaust is the only thing currently that's compulsory in British education.
Really?
So, well, to some extent. So if you're an academy school, you don't have to follow the national curriculum. You can choose to do your own curriculum, but most schools will still follow the national curriculum.
Do you get to pick things that you teach?
Yeah, so everything else you get to choose what you do.
The power.
Apart from, the only thing that is outlined that you have to teach on the national curriculum is the Holocaust.
The Holocaust, right.
So that's the only thing. So,
what did you pick last time?
Oh, well, you pick different things for each year group. So,
loads of stuff. Then.
Yeah, so we've got loads of different.
Do you mix it up sometimes? Like, oh, I'm really bored with that.
We do random topics.
It was Greeks. Year 7 was Greeks. Then it was.
Didn't do Greeks.
Year 8, I think, was. What's Spartacus?
Roman.
Is that Roman?
Yeah,
so that was Roman. Because I remember Mr. Golding was teaching us Roman.
Right.
And then I took it for GCSE, and that's when the...
Yeah. Yeah, you did all the interesting... At primary school, I did, like, Romans, Vikings...
I feel like I missed all of history. I feel like every time we were teaching, learning history in primary school, I was ill. Because I don't remember learning any history. I've never learned about the Victorian...
At school, we just did the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, that's it.
You do it as, like, you learn English through looking at Victorian stuff. Or
yeah, I don't remember ever learning about the Victorians in my life.
We don't.
I don't think I ever have.
The Victorians are boring, aren't they?
I know.
We do random things. So year 7 do medieval realms.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
And the Tudors.
Mm.
Year 8 do transformation of surgery.
Ooh. You know what? There used to be a really cool exhibit on that in the Science Museum in London.
Yeah.
And I was going to go there recently. I was in London. I was like, oh, I'm going to go along to that cool thing. And it's not there anymore.
Gone, yeah.
They're redoing it, I think. They're refurbing it. Because I loved it because it was so old. It was like old mannequins and shit, like creepy shit that I like.
Whoa.
But we do that with year 8, so like the discovery of anesthetic and stuff.
Yeah.
And
when they like have to saw your legs off and shit. Yeah.
Oh,
I've had a couple of kids faint because we've got a couple of videos.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then they do World War One.
Right.
And then year 9, if they've chosen to take history GCSE.
Right.
So they pick either history or geography.
Yeah.
In year 8. So they then do the interwar years, conflict and tension.
Right,
so,
okay.
And then they do Germany in year 9. And then year 10 do health and the people.
Even the title of it is like, oh.
It's not particularly.
Health and people.
Yeah, it's not particularly thrilling. And then they do Elizabethan England.
So this is what happened when I chose history. It like got very boring.
Yeah.
And year 11 then is just revision.
I got a D in history, Rachel.
It's okay.
Yeah, but I feel like you'd have got a better grade if you had.
I got a U in history.
You didn't take it. Yeah. I got a D. In one of the exams, I actually fell asleep in history.
I fell asleep in Miss Hawke's class and she slammed her shoe on the table.
Mm.
She used to do that quite a bit.
Anyway, Holocaust gets back on track.
Yeah. Well, on some sort of track, yeah.
Yes.
It's been surprisingly lighthearted.
Did you take history at GCSE?
No.
Oh.
So this is what I don't understand.
Did you take, Rachel, you took history.
Yes.
Was it interesting or boring?
I enjoyed, so I didn't, but
did
I
did you do Health not, and the People?
No. Well,
did you do the Industrial Revolution?
No. I did Industrial Medicine Revolution Through Time, I did Nazi Germany, and I did the American West.
I don't even remember
enjoyed
what
the American
I did.
West.
American that West, cool. That sounds fun.
Sounds like cowboys.
That
sounds awesome.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
good.
I don't know what the West is.
That's turn of the century.
Yeah, 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 like the creation of America.
I love Westerns.
I never
so
heard the
cool.
history story of the West. I've obviously seen the films. And
so wait
the
a minute,
caricatures
I'm confused. So when we got to
the real history,
your humanity choices.
Yeah.
Oh, when could you choose RE, history, or geography?
In when we went, you didn't have to choose a humanity subject.
Oh,
you had
yeah.
to choose a technology subject.
Yeah, yeah, because I didn't choose a humanities at all.
No.
Because you had to
now,
do RE. You had to.
You had to do RE, you had to do IT.
Or
yeah.
GCSE.
And you had to choose technology.
Of course you did, yeah.
But you didn't have to choose a humanities.
Now you have to choose a humanity. Now you
or
have to do history
I think you
or
do
geography.
It,
you have to nationally.
Oh, really?
That's what the, when they talk about the EBAC.
Right.
Like, to judge schools, that's what that is.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to do. And then I just looked at what lessons had the best trip, which is why I took German. I took history.
Because
we went to Belgium.
Oh, right,
to Belgium,
yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's cool. That's one of the only trips that leaves the country. I'm going to do that. So, yeah, I really didn't.
Did
really,
we get lots of people.
Yeah.
We get lots of people pick
what
history.
Is geography anyway?
The world.
But what is it? Like
rocks, volcanoes,
weather. To what end?
Weather.
It's like geology.
Yeah, but geography.
Yeah, but it's also, there's
geography
human geography as well. Like,
yeah.
why do people live where they live?
Yeah.
And
it's
why?
Only the same way as like
people.
Science and science, but it's also biology, physics, chemistry.
So geography is also like, why do people starve and why are some people so fat?
Really?
You're like, yeah.
I feel like
that's
now I would have been
geography.
Interested in geography.
Yeah,
at the time, I'm
far
not.
More interested in geography now.
Yeah. I could not. I did not know where
yeah,
any country was map
fucking
in school.
Boring.
But now I love the world. I
Miss
love.
Was an absolute cunt. And the other one as well. I don't know who the other one was, but she was.
Mate, I had to cut all this. None of
Sorry.
Our listeners know any of our teachers. They don't care.
Sorry.
All right.
Somebody. Back to the fucking Holocaust.
On with the Holocaust.
Okay, so what I thought was interesting about that trailer, particularly for Denial, and what we use it for
at
school.
Oh my god, still back, that's how far off track we went, yeah, Denial trailer.
Denial trailer. So that's what we use it for at school, when we use the Denial trailer, is that she says not all opinions are equal. And
right.
that's the debate that she goes into the trial with, that his opinion is not as valid as hers. That
right.
He's not entitled to his opinion because his opinion is so wrong in
Risky.
Her mind. And I think that's quite a, going kind of wider than the Holocaust, that's quite a broad
But he strikes me,
statement.
You can see why she would say it, because he strikes me as the Richard Dawkins of the history world, just because his views don't seem to have any credence or weight.
Yeah, so most historians would argue that he doesn't have...
But a lot of people listen to Dawkins. I don't think
yeah.
a lot of many people listen to
No,
this
but a lot of people listen to Dawkins, but not many scientists. Because they look at him like, yeah, but he doesn't...
He's
he
like
doesn't...
a pop culture theologist.
Yeah.
yeah
Whereas lots of historians would look at David Irving and say he is not a historian.
Mm.
Because he doesn't... Their opinion is that he has an opinion and he finds evidence to match his opinion rather than... researching
the
and then and, forming a
yeah,
judgment.
Yeah.
That's like me saying, well, I don't think the Holocaust existed or happened because I didn't see it. I wasn't there to be a part of it.
Well, that's what flat earth theorists say.
That's like me saying,
they've
this
never
isn't
seen the curvature
table,
of the earth.
There's no place mats. I can't see any cutlery. There's no evidence that you've eaten on this. It's not a dining room. This is your front room.
No, this is my dining table.
No, because I'm saying it's your front room.
Yeah, exactly. So opinions.
I probably
are,
use
I can't
them
see the placemats. So that's my opinion.
Yeah,
but then
so
my
that's,
opinion isn't equal.
What she's saying is there some opinions that aren't valid? Is there some things in
we need to be able to tell
okay.
the difference between shit and shinola, basically.
It's like some people literally just make a career off being controversial. People listen. If you say something controversial, someone's going to listen to you because they'll be like, oh, "Can't believe he said that."
Yeah,
and then you've already got a fellowship.
There's lots of idiots in the world. If you can tap into that market, then you're golden.
Yeah.
That's why I respect our listeners more, because like none of them are idiots. They just hang around for the intelligent debate.
Just cut this.
Oh, fucking lot.
Okay, I will actually cut that.
Yeah, good.
But I thought it was interesting in terms of for you guys and this show, in that I almost do to you guys what she says about him when Luke texts me and says, does this happen? I go, no, that's bullshit.
Oh, yeah,
and
you
I
do that on the show.
And I discredit your things because that's not my view of history.
It's really weird when we're recording in the studio. Your voice sounds really different to when you text in to us and give your viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you slagged off the Glocker.
Yeah.
It's
quite a few things that you've said that I've said.
Yeah,
that's
I can't remember. There was something else recently, but I can't remember what it was. Can't remember. Normally, I don't think I've done any historical topics, so it's normally the ones that
you agree with Tiss's ancient Egypt stuff.
Yeah. So, you're normally quite surprised if I agree with something.
We have quite a lot of listeners who are like real historical nerds. They love like the history stuff. And when I was tagging our stuff for the new website, by the way, weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. When I was tagging the stuff, historical was one of the tags I had, and I was so surprised at how many episodes that were tagged with historical.
Mm.
It was like one of our most used tags. Because even ones that aren't 100% history, they've got all the historical
element. We've
done a lot of
biography stuff as well.
Yeah,
so Manson.
Yeah, biographical stuff as well, for sure. The Warrens, Tesla. Manson, Tesla, yeah, Nostradamus. Yeah.
But I thought that means, so does that mean that I'm wrong for the times that I've told you that your history is bullshit? because it doesn't match the approved kind of version of history. But that means things like your conspiracy theories, just because they like that are out there, just because they don't match the approved.
This is pushing it a bit farther, isn't it? Like the Holocaust didn't happen.
Yeah, even we're like not going with that. Do you think 9/11 was a sham?
Well, I think it happened, but then I haven't watched all the videos.
What about the Pentagon?
I think 9/11 happened, but I don't think it was.
It definitely happened, yeah. But what about the Pentagon? Do you think that was the plane or do you think that was something else?
Well, I haven't watched any of this stuff, so I think it's the plane because I haven't watched anything. But
I've got a video to show you.
I think stuff even further back, though, like the Holocaust is quite recent.
Yeah.
Egyptian history is fucking
ace. That's it. I can understand debate on things that have no eyewitness accounts in memory.
Mm. Yeah.
Like there's video footage of people who are like, I was in Auschwitz.
As well as
available.
Like,
there's no video footage of someone like, I built a pyramid.
Yeah.
And Atlantis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like so long ago.
So
if it was ever real.
It was.
Well, yeah, there's, how do we, what? But David Irving says that those survivors or even SS or Nazi officers who talk about the Holocaust are only saying so now because they're making money off the Holocaust.
Riding on his coattails.
Yeah, so they're saying, they're saying, well, if you are a survivor who lives in Israel, you get state money. As a survivor, you get given kind of a compensation for your experience, I suppose, for your...
I don't think that's enough, though. Like, it's nice, but, like...
It's nice.
Why would you... It just seems like such a callous, horrible, horrible thing to go along with, just that you can get a nice pension at the end of your life.
Why did Hitler hate the Jews?
There's lots of...
Because they killed God.
there's lots of debate. No one really knows for certain because he didn't write one sentence that said, this is why I hate the Jews. He wrote about 15 different sentences, all with different...
He thought they were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, though, right?
No.
He didn't.
Jesus was king of the Jews.
Yeah, but most anti-Semitism, or historically anti-Semitism and hatred of the Jews is because the Jews killed Jesus, like a myth.
Yeah. Did they?
But the Jews didn't kill Jesus, the Romans killed Jesus.
When I watched Schindler's List last year, when the credits were rolling, Becca said to me, why did Hitler hate the Jews?
Yeah.
And I was like, I just Googled it right there and then. I picked on my iPad and typed in, why did Hitler hate the Jews? And it came up, the first thing, Google answers. It was like, he believed that the Jews killed Jesus.
So that is the most common anti-Semitic belief, that the Jews killed Jesus, therefore they will be forever punished because or they're not worthy of being equal. For Hitler, most of his belief is kind of a hatred of how they were doing, or his perceived that of their success, how he perceived that they were successful. Right. So there's lots of things that supposedly, one rumor, one kind of idea is that when he tried to be an artist, when he lived in Austria, because he was much better at art than I am, but he was failed to get into the prestigious art school.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposedly, it was a Jewish artist that denied him entry.
Oh, really?
So that's given as one reason that he disliked the Jews.
Nah, that's petty. Equally, I don't think even Hitler was that
petty. Grew.
There's also ideas. So for a period of time when he lived in Austria, he was also homeless. Hitler was lived on the streets.
Oh, really?
And there's evidence that perhaps he was having to beg in a Jewish community, and therefore their success while he was in the kind of worst moments
still
of his
enough
life
to kill 6 million
seen as thing. But the most kind of what's seen as the leading argument is his understanding of social Darwinism, and that his hierarchy of order of people, and the Jews are a lower order of people. They are the bottom rung of society in that kind of his view of, so therefore they are to blame for all of Germany's problems.
Mm.
So it's a very similar kind of political view that you might hear about, kind of that you see about racism on the news today when you hear about kind of Muslims.
Right, okay.
In that kind of, it's their fault that this has happened.
Right, okay.
It's that kind of...
Yeah.
Political...
that's a bit of a scary similarity, actually, when you point out like that.
Thick, dumbass, stupid opinions.
Yeah, so it's that kind of... That kind of opinion that everything...
Do I need to balance it out
wrong?
For, like, balance sake on the show? Maybe they're right.
But it's that kind of... No. It's that kind of political view, perhaps, that everything that's gone wrong in the world is because of
Jewish people. But that's
people.
The whole political way of getting people to do stuff what you want. You find a scapegoat, and it's usually a religious entity.
Mm.
But at the time as well, when Hitler was around in the 20s, the 30s and the 40s, there was huge hatred of the Jewish people across Europe. It wasn't just...
Really?
It wasn't unique to Germany, and it certainly wasn't unique to the Nazis.
What about us? Did the Brits hate the Jews?
Yeah, there was this very strong anti...
I've never understood, like, the Jewish hate. It doesn't...
It seems
such a weird thing.
Well, there makes no sense.
There's, I think it's... There was a series that was on Netflix that we watched whilst we were in Berlin and Poland. What was it called? The Rise of the Nazis or The Rise of Hitler or something. And it was like a BBC documentary over, what, six parts or something.
Is it the one with Thingy? Robbie Coltrane?
No.
No, but that's really good.
That's good.
Hitler Rise of Evil.
That's
amazing.
That is good. No, this was different. It was quite a lot, probably, what, 15 years old, this documentary is?
Yeah.
It was the one where I'm talking about where the Nazis would basically just travel across Europe hunting Nazis down. And there was like one, hunting Jews down. And there was one Jewish lady that lived in like Guernsey.
Yes.
And they came all that way to get her.
That's the BBC
and no
series
one
Auschwitz.
Stopped it. Oh, that's it. It's just called Auschwitz, yeah.
No one stopped it.
No, yeah. Like there was, they came to this community.
So they were, that's the only area of Britain.
Guernsey.
Where there was.
The only area of Britain that was taken over by the Nazis. They,
it was Guernsey.
They invaded.
Fuck's sake. Because they've got no army, innit?
So, yeah, and there was three Jewish women on the island, and all three women were sent to Auschwitz.
And there's no Jewish men?
There was no... They were the only Jewish community. They were happened to be there as, like, working for richer families. So the lady that they follow in the documentary was a nanny for a family from London.
Mm.
And they were there on their holiday, and she wasn't allowed to go back with them, and she got sent to Auschwitz.
Mm. Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah.
So we didn't stop it either. So there must have been just that underlying hatred, or just no one, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we...
It's mental.
We knew what was happening as well. The government... It's one of those things where we'd like to pretend that we didn't know what was happening. Yeah, we did know. So there was even a debate in the Houses of Parliament about what should we do about
Germany.
About the persecution of the Jews in Germany during the war.
Didn't Churchill, I heard this might be bullshit, but I heard, it probably is if it's me, but I heard that Churchill was, like, presenting photos to other politicians in, like, what do we do about this?
There was lots of, someone had managed to smuggle out pictures from Auschwitz.
Probably not Churchill.
No,
smuggling them out.
Probably not. I'll see if I can
under his
find
hat.
They were presented in the government, and so that's the most famous one. Bob can put it on.
Oh,
that's the most famous smuggled photo from Auschwitz.
And who brought that in? Churchill?
It was presented to the British government.
Keep this under your hat, boys.
Someone managed to get it out. And they said, well, what are we going to do about it? And there was a big debate about should they bomb Auschwitz? And they decided that they didn't necessarily know that the Jewish people were being killed at Auschwitz, but they knew that they were being held as prisoners and they weren't being treated as prisoners. So the debate was whether to bomb Auschwitz, and they decided not to, in that they would then kill innocent people. But obviously they didn't know that those innocent people were being killed anyway. So most of the Jewish people in Auschwitz were hoping that they would come and bomb them just to end it.
But you think we probably didn't... So Birkenau was
imagine that it was as bad as it was.
But Auschwitz-Birkenau was probably the most obvious, like from the air. You can see it so clearly, right? Auschwitz is maybe not so clear. But probably the British at the time and other people probably didn't know there were many other death camps around Poland, right?
So
even if they'd have bombed Auschwitz, there would have still been other places they'd have taken them, and they probably would have built other places.
This is a British bomber's photo of Auschwitz, and you can see that the gas chambers are running.
Is it?
So this is
the crematorium.
Yeah. So this is a British photo of. So they flew over. They knew that there was a camp there.
So if people were showing these photos to that Irving dude,
but he would say that's not evidence that they're being killed.
Right.
Well, So that's what he says. There's no evidence that there's gas in those gas chambers, or that they're even gas chambers, or that those crematoriums.
Oh, that's so lazy. Anyone can say that.
This just sucks.
Anywhere I wasn't, I can say might not have happened though.
Yeah.
So that's his.
Yeah, it's like, what did you have for dinner?
Salmon.
I bet you didn't.
No, I know for a fact you
did. You had salmon for dinner.
Salmon and couscous.
Salmon. Let me smell your breath. No. That's not salmon.
Salmon, couscous and jacket potato, mate. It was really good.
I'm going to sue you for libel.
It was really good. We did the couscous with like a masala powder, so it's like almost like curried couscous. It was really good.
I've got another video. This is why, like an up-to-date one of why do people still deny the Holocaust?
So this is not just Irving.
This isn't aimed at Irving. This is aimed at overall, why do people still deny the Holocaust despite everything?
Okay.
Despite the Holocaust happening.
In July 2015, Romania passed a law officially criminalizing Holocaust denial. 16 other countries have also passed legislation effectively outlawing the practice. But elsewhere, even heads of state are deniers, like Iran's ex-president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. In fact, one survey showed that up to two-thirds of the world hadn't heard of or denied facts about the Holocaust. So how is that possible? What is Holocaust denial? From 1941 to 1945, Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime carried out the systematic genocide of about 6 million Jews and millions of others considered undesirable. Nearly all historians, survivors, and even ex-Nazis confirmed that Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, and others were murdered through the use of concentration camps and gas chambers. Yet, Holocaust deniers, who prefer the term revisionists, argue that the Holocaust either did not happen or was significantly overblown. Many deniers, like the former head of the Muslim Brotherhood, suggest that the myth of the Holocaust is simply a Jewish conspiracy designed to subjugate non-Jewish people. While they argue that their view is objective and unbiased, it's generally acknowledged that in most cases, Holocaust denial is a direct form of anti-Semitism. Additionally, deniers rarely dispute the non-Jewish victims of the Holocaust, and even acknowledge that there was systematic mass murder by the Nazis, just not of Jews. Generally, there's a focus on three primary arguments. The first is that the Nazis did not have a specific policy of exterminating Jews. This is predicated on the fact that no direct written order from Hitler exists. However, there is significant evidence in the form of letters, testimony from the Nuremberg trials, and even passages from Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. Two secretly recorded speeches were made in 1943 by the architect of the Holocaust, Heinrich Himmler. In them, he explicitly discusses the systematic extermination of the Jews. Deniers often argue over the meaning of the word extermination within the speech. Another assertion is that nowhere near 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust, often citing numbers closer to 300,000, or a million. Much of this is based on a single Red Cross publication listing 300,000 registered deaths of Germans and German Jews alone. This figure is misrepresented by deniers as accounting for all Holocaust victims. In 1979, the Red Cross responded to deniers and disputed these false claims. The final argument is that Nazis did not use gas chambers or extermination camps. In one famous case, a leading Holocaust denial organization put out a challenge offering $50,000 for proof that Jews were gassed at Auschwitz. In response, a Holocaust survivor submitted his experience of seeing his mother and two sisters led into gas chambers to be killed. When the organization refused to pay up, the survivor sued and won. During the trial, the judge declared, Jews were gassed to death at Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland during the summer of 1944. It is not reasonably subject to dispute. It is simply a fact. Despite Holocaust deniers being regularly discredited, they continue to be supported by white supremacist, neo-Nazi, and anti-Semitic groups. Although they claim proof of a Jewish agenda, there is almost no debate as to the real reason that they attempt to deny the facts of the Holocaust. The Holocaust may have been one of the worst genocides in modern history, but it's far from the only one. Most recently, the mass murder that occurred in Armenia during the early 20th century has finally been acknowledged as a genocide.
I just, the thing I keep thinking of when we're talking about this is that one, there's that one room at Auschwitz 1, or there's that one block where like half the block is just documents, and it's all like figures, it's all numbers, and it's like these many people were brought into by train, these many people, you know, and there are documents documenting the deaths and how they were killed.
Yeah, there aren't any documents that say these people were gassed or these people, because those people were taken straight to, they weren't registered. There is no registration of those people.
Yeah.
There are lots of documents about people who were selected to work and then them being killed. So there's lists of why they were killed. And most of them are seen as made up reason, so lots of them, like, it's about disease and stuff, but when most historians would say, well, actually that disease is because they were starved to death, they didn't die from disease, they died because that disease happened because they were not looked after. But there is the one thing that is true that Holocaust denies, there is no list of names of people who were sent to gas chambers because they were never registered.
Yeah,
they
but if you
seen.
Wanted to exterminate an entire race, are you really going to be asked to sit there and take details of people?
Yeah, because they didn't see them.
They didn't
as
see
people.
Them as people.
No,
they were
seen
like
rats.
As like rats.
Yeah.
To be exterminated. So yeah. Why would you stop to take? Oh, can I just take your name?
Yeah.
Yeah. For what?
Why? What purpose? If your purpose is to dominate the world with a perfect race, and the way you're going to do that is to exterminate all the other people that aren't that perfect race.
Yeah.
Why would it be a part of your agenda to bother to do that? And even if you were queuing up knowing what your fate was, and you're like, wow, this is terrible, well, you're not going to give you your, like, what, even if there were names, there's no proof that those people existed or that they were actual, you could just make up a name.
Mm.
So it's all just way too loose and wishy-washy.
Rubs.
Real or rubs, Holocaust denial.
Rubs on the Holocaust denial.
So reals for the Holocaust?
Yeah.
And how many people died?
Shitloads.
Yes.
6 million?
Yeah. Jews. How many altogether?
700 million.
12 million.
700 million.
But
imagine if
still
1 trillion people died right now.
But remember when we were in Berlin, there's still arguments.
Billion? 7 billion?
7 billion on Earth.
Imagine if 6 billion people died.
That's what the world needs now.
It's love.
Imagine if that happened.
We're expanding at a terrifying rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like,
haven't we expanded like 2.5 billion since the 1970s?
Yeah, we're a plague.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Like, that's mental.
We're like cancer, but like on a bigger scale.
Yeah, and
medicine.
We're only getting like exponentially more.
It's medicine. We
and
need
now
to
we're
stop advancing
seven new
our
planets
medicine.
That we're just going to pillage.
We basically need to stop offering people medicine when they get ill.
Yeah. So like, people need to run their course. People,
the Earth take us.
I actually agree to a certain extent. Like, we can't stop keep prolonging it.
I would have died long ago. I don't know how I'm going.
You can't keep like prolonging
looking after people.
In the real world, I would have perished long ago. I'd have been eaten by a tiger
world.
Or something.
In the real
rather
world,
in this fake world,
by a tiger. What real world are you living on?
No, I mean like the real
in
jungle back in the day.
Yeah, but no tiger lived in Milton Keynes ever.
No, I mean back in the day.
Still wasn't a tiger.
Like hunter gatherers.
We never had tigers on like England.
Yeah.
No. No,
we have like badgers.
How do you know? Are you a tiger denier?
Denier.
Well, I thought it was great.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, yeah. But it's still, in terms of like the the number of people who died. There's still, remember when we were in Berlin, there's still argument about who gets...
At Sachsenhausen.
I didn't go to Sachsenhausen. You told me all about it. It sounds great.
So if you... When you're in Berlin and you go and look at the memorials to the different persecuted groups...
There's
big arguments about the memorials. So the Jewish memorial in Berlin is probably the most famous, and it's a huge...
That's amazing.
I've been there, yeah.
Huge memorial.
Over
the road. The memorial to the...
The gay memorial.
Yeah, the homosexual men who were persecuted. And it's a very similar design.
Only homosexual men?
Well...
Did you not see this?
Yeah, but it's not homosexual women.
Homosexual women weren't necessarily killed by the Nazis because of the horrific thing that you can... The only reason that homosexuals were persecuted by the Nazis is because they didn't have children.
Right.
But you can make a lesbian woman have a child.
Ooh.
How do you force a gay man?
But lesbians since have been like, there should be a memorial for lesbian. No, they weren't killed by the Nazis.
So there's big debate about it. So they definitely faced persecution. They were horrific treatment.
Yeah.
But they weren't necessarily killed. Whereas there were gay men who were killed. Right. Yeah, they could be forced. Yeah. How do you force a gay man to... Yeah. So they've got their own memorial.
The homosexual
memorial.
Their
memorial is over the road from the Jewish memorial. And it's a very similar design. So it's like a big grey box. But inside, there's like a little kind of window. And inside is a video that's constantly playing of two men kissing.
Right.
And that's their memorial. But it's the same kind of design as the Jewish memorial.
Right.
Then down the other end of the park is the Roma Sinti memorial, which is like...
It's quite powerful, that one.
It's like a triangle thing that comes out of the water, and it has each day a different flower comes up on it, and it's a flower kind of sitting in the water, and there's like music playing. So it's quite a peaceful one. But there's big arguments, and then down the road again is the memorial to disabled people who were killed, and it's like a big blue wall.
Big ramp.
No. It's a big blue wall.
Right.
It's glass. It's like a big glass blue wall thing. Mm. But there's all arguments, because this is what I was getting to, that's still going on about the Holocaust, is that they're all arguing over where they didn't want to be near each other. So, like, there was a whole group of particularly Orthodox Jews were very, very angry that the memorial to the homosexuals is next to the Jewish memorial.
So then
they didn't want the homosexuals didn't want to be, or the Roma Sinti didn't want to be near the homosexuals either, so they're opposite ends of the park.
Wow, so weird that the homosexuals are the most persecuted.
Yeah, even now, these are groups that are persecuted
by the other
still,
people that
were
in it. It's almost like they didn't learn their fucking lesson.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Still arguing with each other.
Fucking idiots.
Idiots.
But yeah, no one wanted to be near the
what about
homosexual.
If you were homosexual and disabled
and
what about Jewish,
well, then you stood no
the
chance.
The most persecuted person in the world.
Oh my god, you would be carted off.
But you didn't even have to be. So you could be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed German and face persecution. If you were someone who refused to work, you could be.
How would Hitler feel about that? He meets. Hans Bubi, he's got some big chisel jaw, blue eyes, blonde haired hunk that Hitler's like stammering over. But he turns out that Hans is gay. Is he going to let that slide?
No, he would face persecution.
But wait a minute, isn't Hitler drooling over the gut?
Yeah, exactly.
But Hitler killed his own like best friend they accused him of being gay. And
jealousy.
He killed him. So that was Ernst Röhm. He was supposedly killed because he was gay.
He killed his own best friend?
Physically? Hitler himself didn't.
Right.
Ernst Röhm
asked.
He hadn't
killed.
Yeah. Ernst Röhm said, if you want to kill me,
come and kill
me yourself.
Did Hitler ever kill anyone with his bare hands?
Not that we know of, no.
Oh, man.
Like Rambo.
Yeah, I was thinking of him in an arena.
He had his own illness. That's why there's all that footage of him with his, like, hand
gammy leg.
Shakes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he never took his left hand. He never took out his pocket.
So he had his own illness, so he probably didn't...
Jeremy Beadle.
He does that in Downfall all the time as well.
He's like trying to sort his hair out when he's stressed.
That's a great film, man. You should watch that.
You seriously need to see that film. It's been parodied a lot on Facebook.
Yeah, it might have been ruined for you.
Is it where Hitler goes nuts?
Yeah. That, in the film, that scene's amazing, but now you've seen so many of that in meme form that it might ruin the real film.
It's like any
The real
any
film is fucking amazing.
Like
the whole thing takes place inside his bunker.
Okay.
And it's just all his last days. And that's how he was reacting to everything going on.
It's based on the story of one of his secretaries.
Does anyone deny that was what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great film.
There's lots of people that, well, as you've talked about, that people say whether Hitler is still alive.
Oh, yeah. He ran off to Argentina, didn't he?
He's in Argentina, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of course. So that is bullshit.
Of course.
That's crap.
I looked at him when I was redoing the blog for the website. I looked at the pictures of Hitler air quotes in Argentina, and they're fucking
shit. To be fair,
shit.
If he was real, surely there'd be Jewish people like hunting him down.
Well, there are Nazi hunters.
Yeah,
there are people who are hunting Nazis. Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
Wasn't there a show? Wasn't there a show literally
the
called
old,
Nazi Hunters?
The old
Nazi
ones.
Hunters.
But aren't they nearly dead?
Yeah.
Isn't there
they still
Nazi,
like chasing them.
There was a guy who was prosecuted last year,
and he
was the bookmaker, like the bookkeeper of Auschwitz. It's kind of what title he was given. But he was like in his 90s.
You just got a few more things to go over.
I've just got some outrageous quotes that I thought might be good for you to
I like anything outrageous.
From some of these Holocaust deniers. See what you think about what they say. So this is...
Are we going to reel or rubs this?
Yeah, so this is from Willis Carto, who is a very strong supporter of the neo-Nazi movement. And he said, if Satan himself had tried to create a force for the destruction of the nations, he could have done no better than to invent the Jews.
Oof.
That is crazy.
It's outrageous.
That is outrageous.
He also said, Hitler's defeat was the defeat of Europe and of America. The blame must be laid at the door of the international Jew.
What a horrid man.
They
don't
like
alive?
They don't like
Who said
Jews?
This?
There's a man called Willis Carto.
Is he still alive?
He's no he's not an old Jew.
He's definitely not. Definitely not. No, he's, as far as I know, he's still alive, still around. Yeah, he's still writing some horrific things.
Mm.
I've got another one then from someone called Mark Webber.
Right. Mark Webber I used to work with. I used to work with like Mark Webber. Does he love barbecues?
Was he a Nazi?
He loved barbecues.
Was he the Nazi guy?
No, that was
he loved barbecues.
No, this guy called Mark Webber loved
like a barbecue.
Yeah. He used to bring his barbecue on the burn site.
I'm pretty sure Dr. Dre has a barbecue every day.
Yeah, he has barbecue for dinner every single day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Right, sorry, Mark Webber.
Outrageous Mark Webber.
Mark Webber. So he said this he said it in 1989, so it's quite an old quote now. He says, but don't for a minute think that indoctrinating wide-eyed school children with the lies and slanders against Germans, Slavs, Catholics, Christians, Europeans and whites isn't a primary purpose of the Holocaust. The Holocaust is a religion. It's underpinning in the realms of historical fact and non-existent. No Hitler order, no plan, no budget, no gas chambers, no autopsies of gassed victims, no bones, no ashes, no skulls, no nothing. Secondly, it's a religion for losers. Suffice it to say that the rise of religion such as this generally coincides with the decline and fall of nations which tolerate them.
There's so much to hate in that.
But didn't they find bones?
Where'd you start with a quote like
that's
that?
That's what I was going to say.
That's what he's saying. He's like, "There's no, that's all bullshit. Yeah. No
but
bones.
There was, I mean...
But they must have found.
It's like if you
there
just
is,
shout, no,
and there's
no,
piles
no,
piles
no.
Of bodies.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
pretty
yeah.
sure
somewhere.
Seen
pictures of it.
There are
I've seen a bone.
There's, but we've, I mean, they were cremated, so... And it's ash, isn't it? So wouldn't they have just buried the ash?
Lots of the ash was used as road grit.
Oh God.
Which road?
That is the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
Which road?
Oh, just around Poland for the armies to move on.
When
around Poland.
When Robbie Williams released Rude Box, apparently it sold so few copies that they melted down all the discs and laid overlaid
Being
roads.
Pulped, Lynn.
Yeah, they laid roads with all the
pulps. It.
Yeah, it's pulp Rude Box.
Rude Box.
What you about to say? When Robbie Williams released Rude Box, that was the
was as bad as Holocaust.
Do you deny that that happened, Rude Box?
I think he would try to.
I deny that Rude Box happened. You can't, Robbie, mate. I'm sorry, it fucking happened.
Right.
Fucking hell. Yeah, Rude Box was shit. Shake your Rude Box.
Yeah, oh, it's just so much, like, and.
I've got to say, I disagree with almost everything that's been said.
Yeah.
By the Holocaust deniers, you mean?
Mm.
Yeah. I deny everything that was said, even the Holocaust and the denial.
So Holocaust denial is on the rise.
Wow.
Particularly
Why
because
now?
Of Islamic fundamentalism.
Right.
So the hatred between Islamic fundamentalism and Zionist Jews.
Right.
So those two are in competition with each other.
Do you ever see that?
So they're quite defamatory against each other.
Yeah. Were they kissing the wall?
Can't remember if they're kissing the wall. Don't remember. It was called. It was just called the Ultra Zionists.
Don't they put stuff in the wall? They put notes in the wall.
Yeah, that's the wailing wall.
Yeah, it's like
wall.
Prayers.
It's
the only wall that's left of the temple.
Temple of Israel, right?
Yeah, the Jewish...
That big Israel thing,
yeah. The Jewish temple is the only wall that's left. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who built it?
Jesus.
That one was...
See, I don't know much about the Jewish faith to know which temple that is.
No, I
it's not. It wouldn't be... It wouldn't be.
They're well into sacred geometry, though, aren't they?
Are they?
Judaism. Yeah, Star of David.
Oh, they'll love this show, then. Next week.
Next week. Not this week.
I hate this one.
Yeah, we were talking about... Because you were saying this is what you were thinking you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I think we need to talk about this.
Yeah, it's a good one. It wasn't what I was expecting.
No. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh no, that is good though.
It's a and heavy topic.
Yeah.
I'm hoping when people see the topic come up on their timeline, they're not like, oh, I might skip that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's heavy. It's not going to be for everyone.
No, I think everyone will listen to it just to find out what the hell is it like.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's got to be talked about because I think it's like, it's like she's saying in her video, there are some opinions that are just unacceptable.
The thing is, we're going to get to a point in time in the future where there'll be no survivors of the Holocaust
anymore. No one
to really vouch for it, and a lot of information to go the other way,
which is why I guess it's compulsory on the curriculum to keep so that it's fresh. Keep it like, yeah. We need to talk about
it. If you let go of it too much, then the future generations will be like, oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It'll happen again.
Isn't that weird to think that in hundreds of years this is just going to be probably still be talked about?
Well, this podcast.
No, the Holocaust will be something that will be talked about, but like, it's weird to think that it might not be taught in schools.
No, surely it will be. It's too the world wars and the Holocaust. I mean, it's too huge a moment in human history to just be let be forgotten.
I can't name any of Alexander the Great's battles, though. I bet they were pretty good.
But that's the thing.
Things are documented
at what
more
point,
now.
You know, things like the Crusades were kind of there was horrific treatment of people in the Crusades.
Things weren't documented as much then as they are now. We've got documentation now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there's enough.
Like, you can look on Google and find images of the Holocaust. You can't look on Google and find images of the Crusades. The internet's not going anywhere.
No one took a picture, did they?
No.
Fucking
why just get artist depictions?
Yeah.
Someone sitting outside the battlefield drawing it.
Yeah.
Selfie.
Yeah.
But you could. But that's the one thing that
they didn't invent selfie sticks. That's why.
No.
And with the armor, you can't.
They just stick it at the end of the sword.
With the armor, you got to take your gauntlet off to get the touch on.
Then you lose your hand.
And then you lose your hand.
Yeah.
The thing that got me while I was walking around Auschwitz was the sheer amount of, because I was thinking, like, I know it's a museum, but it's probably just going to be in this block this happened, and I presumed it was just going to be a load of empty like blocks. I didn't really know what to expect, so when I arrived and realised, like, it's not as if they're trying to hide anything. They document and everything's on show for people to see, like even the horrific stuff, like all those suitcases and the hair, like there's all that stuff which is just utterly unbelievably shocking, but they do lay out everything for people to see, and it might not be like, I have this master plan to exterminate all the Jewish people, signed Adolf Hitler, but they're not going to write that down, are they? And it's just, this sort of stuff's got to be talked about because it's just utterly inexplicable and unexplainable how people would even get to that point.
Ooh, tied it in, well done. Sort of,
I'm glad we managed to keep it lighthearted.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I hope no one's been offended by, like, we tried to keep the tone up. We're not meaning to offend
anyone. Unless you're
anyone.
Denying the Holocaust, then you can be offended and you can piss off. No, sorry, carry on. Yeah, we do genuinely hope people weren't offended or...
Yeah, well, it's a touchy subject. It's like the 9/11 episode.
Yeah.
It's a touchy subject. We're not going to sit and be po-faced all the
really
time
because
it's not us. But, you know...
You weren't making fun of the Holocaust.
No,
so.
I would never do that.
No.
I said I would never do that, like it's something I would do, like I was joking. I would genuinely never do that.
No. Huh. No. Well, thanks, Rach, for taking us on that history trip.
Yeah, thanks, Rach.
Amazing.
That was
I want to say, hopefully maybe we'll come have you back another time to give us another history lesson.
Yeah.
But I'm well aware that you're getting closer and closer to, like, popping out a sprog.
Yeah.
So you're going to be busy.
Yeah. So. It will affect the recording, you know, the screaming thing, perhaps, in the...
There's plenty in history, isn't there? There's so much you could do.
What do you do if I denied that you're having a baby?
Wait until 10 weeks and be like...
I'd be like, no, it's not a baby. You can get it from any shop.
Well, then I'd...
They're well realistic these days.
And I'd say some opinions are not as important as other opinions.
Yeah, exactly. Say,
and if you've got an opinion, you can get hold of us at unexplainableuk@mail.com. You can send us links and ideas and your own stories. And just say hi, whatever. That's the address, unexplainableuk@mail.com.
Mm.
We also have a new website.
Whoop.
Hey, so anyone who was moaning about the old blog and how unresponsive it was, and particularly got a comment on Twitter this week about how impossible it was for them to watch the mermaid video they were definitely desperately trying to watch on the Oceans episode, now it's all on weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. Easy to remember that. And you just go on there, and it's got all the old blog information from all the old episodes that's on there, and every week it'll get updated with all the new episode stuff. So all the videos we watched tonight and pictures and stuff will all be on that blog, on that website this week. And have a look around, there's some cool stuff on that website.
Mm.
You can find us on Twitter, at Bob Shoy.
At Tissy Baby.
And
at Martin1Luke.
And you can also find us on facebook.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable. That's all the link nonsense.
Cool.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah. Thanks. Mm. Thanks again, Rach.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks very
My
much.
My pleasure.
Thanks
for coming with me. Have you got a sign off?
Well, Holocaust puns.
If you
should do a Holocaust.
No, not do a Holocaust pun. If you enjoyed the sacred geometry stuff last week, which I know a lot of people did, a lot of people actually emailed us to say like they loved that. It hurt their brain a little bit. One email I got, which I particularly enjoyed, they said whenever they were listening to the video and they were explaining stuff, all they could imagine was the Mr. DNA from Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, man, that's so on point. So, yeah, the part two of the Sacred Geometry is coming next week.
Yeah.
And then we got some really exciting stuff planned coming up after that. All right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And thanks to Jarrell from Chicago, who sent me some really awesome emails this week. Some really cool stuff, which I'm going to dig into.
Cool.
And Sydney Morse as well.
Sweet.
Jarrell and Sydney, they sent us some really awesome stuff in emails this week. So, you guys, thanks so much. And I'm definitely going to be, like, digging into the stuff you sent me.
Thanks, guys.
That's all.
Cool.
Cool. Until next time.
Until next time. Come on, don't say something distasteful.
Oh. Is that...
Oh. I wouldn't have gone that far.
Oh, that's outrageous. That's so bad, both of you. Like, you're both like open mouthed to each other. That's so bad. I was going to say something like, you can't deny it's been a great show or something.
Yeah, we'll choose that one.
That one's better.
It's not going for these two.
All right, okay.
We'll cut that.
Okay, until next time. Holocaust, it's been a great show. You can't deny that.
God.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
With gangster fishing.
Yeah. What would you win if? What would you win if? What would you win when a fat boy slipping? What would you win if? What would you win if? What would you win when a fat boy slipping? What would you win if? What would you win if? What would you win when a fat boy slipping? Oh, danke, Hans.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.